We're the Pragmatic Doulas.
This is a podcast where we talk all about birth and other interesting things.
Birth may be a goddess, but she doesn't want to be worshipped. She wants to be respected. She doesn't want incense. She wants
common sense. All right, here we are. We are back. We are live. We are in person. We are right here with you. This is new. This is happening now.
We have arrived.
We are back. My name is Kim. I am a virtual doula, and I just dropped my last baby off to her first last day of public school. And yeah, it's okay. She's doing in person, so I'm very excited. And that's Stephanie over there.
That's me, Stephanie, your VBAC doula. And I still have my kids home because they're on, Megan doesn't start till Monday. But everyone is ready, everyone is set, we've completed the move, we've got the paperwork done, everyone's in the program they're supposed to be in. So I'm very excited that this part of the new school year will start off with a bang on Monday.
There you go. And I just learned that tomorrow they'll all be out of the house.
Oh my gosh, what will you do?
Well, I've got some stuff to do for my mom, which unfortunately I have to do. And then podcasting again with you guys. But it looks like Fridays will be like a good day where the boys will be, who are still doing in person. Not in person. They're still doing online. Their college and university didn't go back to in person yet, or their programs at least. And they'll be at work, and then Allie will be at school. So I'm not sure. I'll have to check out what the rest of the week's going to look like. So I'm kind of excited.
It's just so peculiar, but I'm very excited for it too.
Yeah.
It gives me the littlest inkling of normalcy, and things will never go back to what they were.
Yeah.
But they will feel like, I don't know. I feel like there'll be a flow again. Don't you feel like there'll be like flow?
I hope so. Yeah. I mean, that's the hope, right? That's what we kind of are all shooting for, because again, normal is irrelevant at this point. Normal is what got us to this point. So
true.
We got to go back. We got to try something different this time. So
we can do it.
All right. So we've got a flow now. We've got structure now. So I'm going to do the land acknowledgement, and then we are going to get into the rest of the podcast. All right. So
I like that.
All right. So land acknowledgement. So this is for me living in East End, Toronto. I would like to recognize and acknowledge the land upon which I live, raise my children, work, and support birthing parents is the traditional territory of many nations, including the Mississaugas of the Credit, the Anishinaabeg, the Chippewa, the Haudenosaunee, and the Wendat peoples, and is now home to many diverse First Nations, Inuit, and Métis people. While a land acknowledgement is not enough, it is an important social justice and decolonial practice that promotes Indigenous visibility and is a reminder that we are on settled Indigenous lands. Let this land acknowledgement be an opening for all of us to contemplate a way to join in Indigenous movements for sovereignty and self-determination. And if you are Canadian, there's an election coming up. So please vote and do the right thing for the people of this country, the people that were here before us, for God's sake. So how are you, Stephanie? Can I ask you about your night last night?
I had a wonderful night last night, a wonderful home birthy night, a 15-minute drive from my house. Somebody who I adore, one of my best friends, her niece gave birth last night, and she flew back in from BC, so I also haven't seen her in a long time. And so it was a wonderful reunion where I got to see people who I love, and I got to see someone really own their birth, really kind of take back what was taken from them, what they felt was taken from them the first time around. And yeah, all was well. Baby was born, nice big baby. And so I'm exhausted. I'm drinking a very big cup of coffee, but I'm very, very happy and excited that that is what I was doing in the wee hours of the morning. Awesome. Welcome their baby.
Awesome. And I want to make a note that while you are not hearing the voice of Suzanne, she has not left us. She is still a part of the podcast, but her son and new daughter-in-law flew in from the Philippines late last night, early this morning. So they are, she is spending some well-needed time with them to obviously get a little bit of sleep, but also to bask in the familyness of it all. So there you go.
You know, Kim, maybe we should also touch on what's different right now, what we've been up to when we just kind of ran away for a couple episodes and put up repeats, which we've never done before.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've done it one, we do it occasionally over Christmas, because depending on where Christmas falls. But yeah, so do you want to talk about that?
Well, we decided to get back together and do a little revamp and a refocus. And we really wanted to all instill a little bit more joy and purpose in what we were doing. So Kim and Suzanne and I had two meetings where we had a sit down about what our goals are for what we want to bring you, what we want to experience ourselves, and what we want the podcast to be. So we decided to hash out what really felt like a sense of purpose and a sense of joy for the podcast. And so we've changed it up a little bit. So we're hoping that, I think we will. We've really brought a little bit of joy back into it, so that we can share that with everyone out there in podcast land, in doula land.
Yeah. And I think when the pandemic sort of started and we had to stop doing things, you know, in person and whatnot, we kind of lost our, I feel like we lost our message. We lost our goal. We lost our sort of what was happening, and what we were doing this for. And as a result, I think we were all sort of feeling a little bit meh about the whole thing. And I won't lie. I'm pretty sure that has, you know, sort of messaged its way through into the actual podcast itself. So we thought it would be a good idea to just rejig it all and get back to, you know, what the original intent was, and to not phone it in anymore. So we're really excited because we have a laundry list of topics. We have worked out topics out until the end of the year. So we're very excited about those guest speakers who are going to be coming in. Still some fun and still, you know, us, still, you know, being us, but we're gonna try and bring it to you a little bit better than what we have probably in the last year. So we hope that's okay with you. Right.
And you know, I think that kind of loss of oomph that we had was a little bit, I think, not just about the pandemic, but that we weren't seeing each other. Part of the reason we really started this is it was an excuse for the three of us to get together in person and hang out.
And eat donuts.
And we weren't doing that anymore. So that gift that we got out of doing the podcast was lost.
Yeah.
Hanging online is great, but honestly, the banter between us, the donuts between us of in person, I think that was part of it. That definitely had to be part of it. So I'm really excited that we've kind of refound joy.
Yeah. We're still not doing it in person. These are still being done via Zoom, but I think it also makes it maybe a little bit easier, because I think we were finding that we were being sort of pulled in so many different directions with family and with business and things like that, that we needed to keep it Zoom, because that, two people's traveling time is cut down. And, you know, it still allows us the time to meet and chat and, you know, talk to our listeners, but also to, you know, still be able to be here for our families and, you know, be chauffeurs and caretakers and for our clients and whatnot as well, because, you know, some of us have gone back to in-person, some of us have not. So yeah, I think this is going to be, I'm very excited about sort of the upcoming way that we're going to do this and not feel, I think that was one of the big things, is not feel guilty about if we can't do the podcast, if one of us can't do the podcast, then that's okay. And it's not, you shouldn't feel like you are letting anybody down if you have to do family stuff or business stuff or client stuff or things like that. And that's okay. Because I think we all know that we are all being pulled in 8 million different directions nowadays. So we got to honor that, right?
100%. I mean, there's so many places in life we need to let go of guilt, you know, and this place really needed to be one of them. That we don't, there's no place for feeling bad when this is doula life, right?
Yeah.
This really is doula life. So many of us got into this work, not just for the doula side of it, but for the flexibility to be able to do the things that need being done in our whole life, not just the business life.
Yes, 100%. So
we are shaking off the shame. We are shaking off the guilt. We are making this exactly what we want to make it. And we hope that you love what we're doing. So come on in, sit down, grab your tea and be with us.
Yep. Grab your tea, grab your donut.
Cordy Bakery.
Who is not even, like, they were never a sponsor, but they're really not now because they're on the other side of the city and you are not there.
So now I recommend you go over to Brock Street in Pickering and go to the old country style where you can get an apple fritter the size of your head.
Okay.
But that's not what we're talking about today.
No, no. So our topic today kind of came from an aha moment that I had last week. And that is all the business mistakes that maybe we've made going along the way. Because we've been doulas I've been a doula for 15 years. You've been one longer than that. Suzanne's been like 16, 17 years. So we've all done some mistakes. And let's be honest, when we took our doula trainings, there was no business aspect of it. We didn't have like business training in our doula training. There was, you know, I remember, and I probably still have this book, I remember from the manual, there was like one page that said, you know, how not to advertise. And that was pretty much it. There's no way of how to get your name out there. And of course, 15, 16, 20 years ago, like having a website was not necessarily a big thing. So how did you do this? But my big aha moment was, and I don't know why, I think I don't do this because I'm ridiculously introverted and I hate being a pest. I mean, when you and I worked at Karuba and whatnot, and you got a commission, you got like 2% commission, I think it was, and it was like, and you had to upsell socks and shit like that. It's like, no, I'm good. Like, I don't want to ask them. I don't want to bother them. I'm a terrible salesperson, literally the worst. But I had I do a free one-on-one with my classes. Like if they want to sign up, if they want to have me for a free one-on-one, like about 45 minutes to an hour to just chat about them specifically and what they're going through in their birth and create a bit of a birth plan kind of thing. And the afterwards, so the one person I talked to last week was like, okay, they've really got their birth in hand. So, you know, really doesn't seem, and she was due like momentarily. So it didn't make sense to sort of try and upsell, you know, virtual birth support. But we were talking about, you know, all the Googling and research and whatnot that she's doing. So when it was over, I just sent a quick thank you email. And then at the end, you know, PS, I do have this parent mentoring program, you know, instead of Googling all the stuff, you know, you can email me, blah, blah, blah. And I gave her all the details. And I thought, you know, she reads it. She's not interested. No problem. Like, whatever. That's okay. And then she came back and said, no, that sounds really good. Yeah, I'll talk to my husband on that. And I think we'll take you up on that. And I'm like, yes. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Why have I not followed up before? Why have I not sent this shit before? Literally 15 years of being a doula. And that's literally probably one of the few times that I've ever actually followed up with somebody. What the hell is wrong with me? So bad. I'm so bad. How did I make it this far? How do I pay my bills with all the crap that I, with all the crap that I should be doing, but I'm not doing? God.
That is a good question. And, you know, I never even thought of things as an upsell. I always let somebody know when I'm doing their comeback for their first only follow-up appointment. Is that too loud? Are you picking up a lot of noise in the background, Kim?
Yeah, it sounds a little bit off, but.
But you can hear me okay?
Yeah, it's just when you speak, it's funny. It doesn't come through when you don't speak. That's so weird.
I'll keep going for now. Okay. Sorry, it's the construction that's happening in my house right now.
Right.
But
we're going to live with it, because if not, we don't have this episode.
Correct. And it's such a good episode. I used to, I always just would offer, as soon as I go to my first follow-up visit with a family, if you're looking for additional breastfeeding support, I offer this. And then in between, we can also stay in touch over talk or text. And usually, you know, in that first visit, which for me is on day three, it's an intense day.
Yeah.
And
especially, you know, for feeding.
Yes, for feeding, you're engorged, your hormones have dropped off, you're kind of weepy. So I always just throw it out there. And I never did it with that intention, except originally it was just that I want people to know there's additional support if you need it. But I always just threw it out there as, you can buy this 3-pack of visits for this amount. And in between, we stay in touch and talk and text. You can shoot me any questions or what ifs and stuff like that. And then that would naturally lead to afterwards, it's like, well, what now? I don't want our relationship to end yet. I said, well, you know, you can do this parent mentor thing. I said, you know, I'll stay available to you for 6 months. This is the flat rate. And if you wanted to throw in more in-person visits, here's how much it would be per visit to sit down face to face. And it was just like, it became a natural progression. And it wasn't until later on when I was talking to my very business-minded husband, who he's like, oh, you're upselling. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm offering support. He's like, you're upselling. You're giving them the next step.
Yeah.
Like, oh, shit. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah. And that's, so the business course that I'm taking, and again, these are sort of very marketing sort of terms, but it's nice if we can find another sort of way to do it, but it's basically, you know, that funnel. So you're starting with, you know, you're getting their interest, you know, up here at the top of the funnel. And that could be a lot of people who might be reading a blog or, you know, checking out your website, things like that. And then you slowly start to build these layers to bring down, you know, and of course people are dropping off, you know, which is why it's a funnel. People are dropping off, you know, and then you get down to the very bottom of the funnel where, you know, you've got that, you know, maybe it is feeding support, or maybe it is, you know, virtual support or birth support and things like that. And then down at the bottom, you've got all these people that, you know, you've kept their interest all this time. So you're just adding more layers on to, you know, what they can get from you and to pay for it. So you can start free and then sort of build down into it. But it was like, yeah, like, I mean, we did this all the time when we were in the stores. why the hell, you know, hey, would you like a pair of socks with that? Hey, they're 3 for $10, you know, like.
I was just going to say they're $3 for $10. I remember that myself. You just turn your back and you put them over here. It's like, oh, check out these socks. They go really great with those pants you just grabbed. $3 for $10 right now. I remember that Karuba and Northern Reflections upsell, and you didn't even think about it. You just did it.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's like, I don't know why this is so foreign when we're talking about our own entrepreneurship, because it is really, you know, that breastfeeding support, that's your $3 for $10 socks, right? Like that is your upsell.
That is my upsell. And, but you know what? Because of ego, because of wondering if it's an upsell, wonder if it's too much. If I had known beforehand that there was a label for it, that there was, it was considered marketing or selling, I feel like I would not have done it in the natural way that I did it. Yes. It would have felt like an upsell.
Yeah. And then it feels schmarmy, right?
Then it feels schmarmy. So I understand now when a lot of these marketing professionals have come to you and said that make sure you're centered in service.
Yes.
So that takes away the schmarminess. But initially when they were doing it, it was just about getting the sale. Like again, at Karuba, at Northern Reflections, it was very seriously about get that sale.
Yeah.
Whereas I appreciate what's being told now, it's being shared now, is make sure your offers are centered in service.
Yes.
So I'm not going to try and upsell something to somebody who does not need it. You know,
well, and that's just it, right? Like I spoke to this person and their birth, as I say, was really in hand, and there isn't anything trying to sell her the virtual birth doula package that wouldn't have made sense. Like it would have felt like I was pushing something onto her. But we had had a conversation in that sort of one-on-one, you know, about Googling and, you know, researching stuff and looking things up and all of that. So there was a flow to it as well, right? If we had had a conversation about, you know, issues that or concerns that she had about breastfeeding, then I would have, then, you know, the flow would have not been necessarily for that, but maybe the way I worded it would have been for breastfeeding support, as opposed to, you know, if you have questions, you know, ask me instead of Google, you know, things like that. So you have to, and that's where it comes. I mean, that's where your doula-ness comes in, right? Where you are listening, not to respond, but listening to actually see what the want is, see what the need is. You know what I mean?
I do. I very much do.
Like that's the whole idea of selling. I mean, when we were in, you know, Karuba, which literally doesn't exist anymore, but, you know, it was never about what does the customer need? It was about what we need to sell, right? It was like, we got these, they need to go sell them. It's like, okay, but that wasn't always what was needed, you know?
Yeah, but we could do a whole episode on what not to do when you're managing people in retail.
Yes.
I can tell you the pushback I got when I pushed back on things.
And oh, yeah.
I'm healthy, so I did. I questioned people, which made my poor manager so upset when the regional manager was trying to tell us to do things and I was questioning why in the middle of our regional meetings. But it felt disingenuous. It felt gross. It felt... And they were nice. Here's the thing. They were nice socks. Okay.
Yeah.
They weren't, but I'm not going to follow people around the store. I'm not going to repeat myself. I'm not going to do the things that they were requesting. And I never did.
I think that's the thing for me with doing things through email and stuff is I don't have to ask them. I can send them an email and say, you know, hey, thank you, blah, 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 for all of this. And, you know, if you're still concerned about XYZ, blah, 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 here's, you know, this is how much it is. This is what you get. Da, 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 da. And that's it. And they can read it, say, no, thank you. Read it, say, yeah, that sounds great. But there's no, for me, it doesn't feel icky that way. right?
Yes, you're not hovering in front of them waiting for a response, right?
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, that uncomfortable, we have to think about it. And you're like, yeah, you're not going to think about it. Like, there's none of that. I put it into their lap, put that bug in their ear, and they figure out what's going to work best for them. And that's kind of the way I want it. Like, as you say, leading with service, leading with confidence, and leading with service. And that's, you know, that if you can get, now that I've gotten over that hump, you know, that's what I'm shooting for now, is to, you know, actually do try and upsell and, you know, follow up. Crazy. Are there any other sort of things that you've done in your years that was like an epic fail, that like, as far as doing business stuff, you just went, what the hell was I thinking?
Yes. Right out of the gate. So way back before there was Toronto Doula Group, there was Birthwise Toronto. And that was myself and a very old friend of mine who actually did the training with me. And of course, when we were starting out, we, both my husband and my ex-husband, who are both numbers people, my ex-husband's actually a bookkeeper and now accountant, was like, okay, so what is your plan? What's your 1-year plan? What's your 5-year plan? Have you laid out your, basically, have you laid anything out financially for goals, for taxes, for setting up a separate account, for getting a separate credit card, like all these things that both of them were pressuring me to do because they were very excited for me. But I was like, fuck off. Leave me alone. No, I haven't. I'm like, I'm just trying to get through the education piece right here, people. And they're like, well, you need to have the base set up so that you can grow out from that. If not, you're going to just be playing catch up all the time. You need to have your account set up so the money goes into there, and then you pay yourself from there, and then you pay for your business stuff from there. And of course, I completely ignored them right out of the gate. I set up stuff for my clients. Like I had each, you know, each client had their own file, and that file went into whatever month file they were due. And I did all of that stuff. But money-wise, I did not do the foundational things. And I hate to say it, and I'd never say it to their faces, but they were absolutely right, both of them. And yep. Even now, my ex-husband's like, have you done this? Have you done that? And I'm like, oh God, Alex, dude. And he's like, well, you own a business. You can do this. You can request this from the government. And I'm like, okay, it's a pandemic. I can't. I don't want to go through all of these things. And he just shakes his head at me and then walks away. But so I should really be listening to him, because if, you know, 20 years ago, I should have listened to him. Maybe I should listen to him now.
Yeah.
Yes. That very foundational thing of right out of the gate, set up your business as separate from you, because especially insurance wise too, you want it to be under your business name, not under your name. So if anything ever does happen, and we have liability insurance and stuff.
Yeah.
But if we have it under our business name versus under our personal name, then people cannot come after you personally, which means people cannot come after my family personally.
Yes.
You know, not that we expect that to happen, but just for business sake, or if something were to happen where a business collapsed, it doesn't impact you personally, credit wise, like opening another business wise, things like that. And, I should have listened to that and built off of that. So again, this is where so many people have wisened up and are taking business courses. And we really need a business course specifically surrounding the financial piece. There's lots of business courses around marketing yourself now.
Yes.
There's lots around introducing service. There's still not a ton. And I feel like, again, we don't grasp this, but there should be one that is literally centered on, so you're starting a doula business. Here's your financial foundation for keeping yourself safe. And that included what I was really surprised to find out is when all of this happened and you were able to, CERB came in, but what also came in was up to, I think, $40,000 for small business. It's like a small business loan. They gave you $40,000 and you only had to pay back $30,000.
Right.
But you had to have been had your business set up separately from you as an individual. And I was like, get out of town. And but again, it was my ex-husband who brought that to my attention. And he said, you have to show where you spent it or didn't spend it and then pay it back by this time. But that's $10,000 buffer where yeah. you could be using it to educate yourself, to hire an employee, to do whatever you need, or just get over the friggin' hump of pandemic time.
Yes.
And then pay it back. So, and that's what he did, because he has his bookkeeping business outside of working for the CRA. So,
right.
Yeah, but that we really, that was my biggest mistake. And it wasn't because it caused financial hardship so much as it created, it could have been so much simpler.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we all want simple. I want simple for every doula who's listening here. So please find a bookkeeper who knows how to set up small business and talk to them. You can talk to my ex-husband, Alex J. Cameron. And he will sit there with you with an exasperated look on his face, but he will get you set up. He will help you.
There you go.
Yeah. Awesome. Did you have those same struggles, Kim?
Oh yeah. I mean, I still haven't done that. Still don't necessarily have a separate bank account or anything like that. Shame on me.
Well, and that's it, right?
There do is, as I say, not as I do.
There is shame around anything money centered, isn't there?
Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's one of the issues that broke up my family, but because we could never talk about money. But yeah, it's almost like, and especially in doula work, it's like, you know, but we're doing this because we're helping people and blah, blah, blah. That doesn't mean you can't get paid. Okay. And that doesn't mean that you can't, you know, pay your bills and, you know, support your family and buy groceries and stuff with this. So it's okay to ask for money for your time. And it's okay to have that set up as a business. And yeah, maybe you're, you know, if there's going to be somebody out there that's going to be, you know, not take you on because you are maybe more business-like than somebody else, that's not the client for you probably. And that's okay. There will be others.
There will be others. So there's another business fail, right? Is choosing to take on, and I know this isn't business specifically, but how we behave that lends itself to the time that we give is taking on clients that we should not have taken on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that maybe that's a little bit offside, and that's more of a behaviors as a doula thing. But how much time and emotional energy, well, I don't want to say wasted, because honestly it's such a learning, it really drives it home, that those first couple times you take on somebody that you should not have taken on. Yeah. That's not your person, that you should have that as soon as you met them you thought, oh, they would be better for this person, but you and your ego said, or you and your sense of lack or whatever said, I'm going to take them. It won't be that bad. And then
it was that bad. And it was not worth the money you were paid.
No. I went to this beautiful, beautiful birth last night. And when I say beautiful, I've been to beautiful C-sections. I've been to beautiful inductions. I have been to beautiful home births where someone roars their baby into this world. And so beautiful, I'm not just, you know, pointing at home births.
Oh no.
It was just very well supported, very well directed, very parent centered. But there's, you know, at the same time having clients, I think about that. And then I think about how I could have been doing more of that versus somebody who maybe take advantage of, is that the right word? Where yeah. There's a constant flow of questions. I think we've all probably, we've had friends, family, and clients who are ask-holes. You know, they ask you 30 million times how to do something, what to do something, and then they don't do it.
Yeah.
And I find that type of personality really draining. I know not everybody does, but when there's a constant.
Oh, I think I've lost you.
I'm here. Got me?
Right. When there's a constant
barrage of questions, but you know that they're not actually wanting the answer. They're wanting to be asking questions. Or is there another way to put that? They're wanting attention, maybe.
Yeah, but it's not necessarily attention seeking. Well, I mean, maybe for some it is. I mean, some are just, they don't feel calm and secure unless they're asking questions.
I think that might be it. And I have to assume, again, we can go back through psychology and everything, that that's someone who was never listened to as a kid, maybe, or made to feel shame for having questions. So all of a sudden you have somebody who's answering them and it just keeps going. But then you find out, you know, when you meet with their care providers, that they've been calling them 24/7 as well, and they're not actually taking any answers. They're just constantly, I just find it draining. I find that constant barrage draining. When there is a relatively simple solution to whatever it might be, but they don't want the solution.
No. Because the solution, unfortunately, is a solution to stop the questions, but that's not what they're looking for, right?
Yeah, and so that is not for me.
No, and again, yeah, that's emotionally and you know, mentally exhausting. And I mean, I think there's something to be said for that emotional exhaustion that we go through as doulas, that constant, you know, answering questions and the same question over and over and over again. Like, I've certainly had clients where it's like, Jesus Christ, I answered this. I already told you, we talked about this. Why are we still talking about this? And then maybe it isn't that. I don't want it to sound like I'm like, why aren't you taking my fucking advice? It's more like, now I have to think, okay, what is surrounding this? I need to start digging down in layers, because what's happening here that we are constantly talking about the same thing? Okay. What is happening that we're constantly going back to this? So, and it may not be as simple as the actual question that's asked. And again, that can be very draining to try and dig down for that. So, I mean, yeah. And is that part of our job? Really? I guess it is, but there are definitely going to be people out there that are going to be doing that again for attention seeking. You know what I mean? Like, that's hard to live with.
And it's like, attention seeking is always a result of something.
Yeah.
Like, this is separate from, and I hate to throw this out here, I hate using that term attention seeking, just simply because I hate hearing about it when it comes to people who are suicidal. Who?
Yes. Oh God, yes.
Don't you hate that when they're just attention seeking? Well,
if no. That's what
they're bringing to you, you know. But when it comes to pregnancy and birth and things like this, it just feels like a well that has no bottom, and I'm not able to fill it no matter how much water I pour in. And
isn't that, though, that's where the referrals have to come, right? That's where you need to refer out. Like, if we're in that space, and maybe, you know, in the beginning, that's the mistake, right? That you've tried to take this on, and you've tried to, you know, be that, you know, well filler for them, but it's never going to happen. So maybe you need to start, you know, referring out to somebody else that they can talk to that can, you know, actually give them better information and give them better answers. Because look, we're doulas, we do listen, and we are there, but we're not the experts. And you can email me and text me as much as you want about whether you're an expert or not, but we're not. We're kind of a jack of all trades, and we're like the GPs, where we're sort of that, you know, one bubble, but maybe they need more. So we're going to filter them out to an expert. We're going to filter them out to a specialist. We're going to move them on to, you know, over here, because that's where they're going to get better support. But I think, do we fail in the idea that we as doulas think we can do all of that? I suggest we can't.
And that is the cornerstone, is we are one of a community, and we do better when we call in our community, or even call outside of our community.
100%.
And even suggesting to somebody that maybe you need some mental health support, and not in a rude manic way. It's like, you know, pregnancy is really hard. Pregnancy can, you know, drain our last battery, and we feel like we're grasping at fumes just to be okay. And if you're feeling that way, you know, here are some excellent resources. Exactly. You know, one thing with the pandemic is there was so many virtual supports became available. So many places said people do it. I don't want to say do it for free, because what happened is there was a lot of funding you could apply for to make a certain percentage of your business covered. And you could go through different programs to get therapy and to get a counselor and things. And I referred that out like candy.
Yes.
Because no one expected to be, when they thought of being pregnant, no one expected it to be while you're at home without parent groups, without even going to regular doctor's appointments. You know, you expected to go every month the way all your friends did, your doctor, or your midwife. You expected home visits with your midwife before your home birth.
You expected family to travel from another country to help you out after the baby came. Absolutely.
And so as a business decision, as a business fail, it was in not referring faster before, not recognizing that it's even my place to recommend counseling. Sure it is. I see you're struggling. I see your pain here. And I can't be that for you. I wish I could, but I'm not a counselor. I am your doula. And because I care, here's some resources that you can tap into right now.
And that's really, you know, when we're getting started and whatnot, we're really excited to get, you know, our first client and do this and do that. And we're, you know, we want to get in there and, you know, set up our website and set up our social media and do the TikToks and all of that stuff. But have you put together a resource list? Have you talked to the people in your community to, you know, be able to refer out to a pelvic floor physiotherapist, a mental health counselor, you know, a lactation consultant, all these other things that, you know, we can help with breastfeeding. We can, you know, help support, you know, to a certain extent, but that, one of our roles is to be a resource guide for clients.
And we should do it freely.
Yes. So another fail that I have found never worked with business and you know, getting your name out there and things like that was doing paid ads. So paid ads through Facebook, paid ads through Instagram, things like that. The return on investment on those was never enough, was never going to work. Was the same thing with paid when we did the baby shows. Now, don't get me wrong. Freaking love doing the baby shows. Loved it.
Loved it.
But financially, no, we again did not get the return on investment. And maybe it's different now, but when we were doing them, we never saw the money back. You know what I mean? They were very expensive to do, as are Facebook and Instagram ads. And with Facebook and Instagram ads, oh my God, it all depends on their analytics and whatnot, and they change their analytics so often. It's really a freaking crapshoot if it's going to work. Like, is it going to actually get to the people that need to see it? And are they going to see it more than once? Probably not. And we know that people have to see things like 10, 15 times before, you know, it's even going to register in their head. But the money that is required of it is not worth it, I find.
Yeah, it was more of the shows are more of a gift to us, yeah. to get out there. But again, that was part of the socializing, you know, that was meeting families and, you know, the wide eyes as they walk towards you and your labor and your big birth ball, you know,
yep.
Asking questions and stuff. And you're right, that didn't, it's funny. I think the first client I got from a baby show wasn't from a parent. It was from a vendor who I'd stopped to talk to, who got pregnant 2 months later, who called me. But
right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's good to be able to see. I think they're more of not a get a client thing, but an educational thing, right? Get out there, spend that money on education of getting out there and seeing what families are being inundated with. What are the new gadgets? What are the new things? And how are they stupid? Or how are they useful? So that you know what they're talking about when they're coming to your classes or they're talking to you about, you know, XYZ, the snoo, the this, the that, all these brand new things. So I think in that case, it's not a marketing thing. It's an educational tool, and it's an educational tool for you.
Oh, and you know, when we were there, something that was not a fail, something I didn't regret, is how we called out a company who was at the baby show. Remember, they set up a whole sleep safe they called themselves like a research sleep safe research place,
but really, they weren't.
They were the owners of the of a baby bundle or something like that you could buy.
Yeah.
And they wanted, so they sold basically research that was geared to saying it was safer for your baby to be in this thing that looks like this without actually using the name. And their setup was right beside their setup with their baby bundle sleep sack type thing.
Yeah.
And remember, we walked up and we're like, and who are your founders? And who owns, you know, who runs this business? Where's the research from? And, you know, it's like, this is disingenuous. This is not service centered. You're basically scaring people at one booth so that they will go to your other booth and buy your shit.
Exactly.
I remember we called in a couple other doulas and birth workers and maternity clothes places too at that show to let them know what was happening and had them also go question it. And sent a letter to the person who runs the baby time show. Cause yes. That was just, I mean, that's just gross.
And that is gross. And I mean, that's icky, but like, that's living in the icky, like that's being proud of the icky. And yeah, no, I can't condone that at all.
No, not at all. And that is definitely not living in service.
No, that's living for your own, you know, benefit, your own bottom line. And come on. We've got families walking around who, you know, one of their biggest fears is, you know, sudden infant death syndrome and all of this stuff. And you're just sitting there like stoking that fire and throwing coal onto it and then saying, hey, look over here at this shiny new thing that looks really cute. And that's going to save your baby's life. And it's like, well, wait, what? No.
No. Uh-huh. And that was their business fail. We're here. We are talking about our business fails, but you know what? That is a stone cold example of a business fail, of not living in service.
And the thing is too, like if you're, so I hear, what was that? The one question on that the AOD put out, you know, for new doulas and advice and whatnot. And I posted and said, hey, you know what? Look, for brand new doulas, your client doesn't know what you don't know, right? They don't know what they're supposed to know. They don't know what you're supposed to know. So go in, do the best you can. And if they ask you a question that you can't answer, you say, you know what? I don't know, but I'm going to find out for you. And I'm going to ask some experts and I'm going to get some resources for you. Bam, look at that. And they're going to go, okay, look at the honesty there. Look at, she's going to do some research. She's going to get me some information and I don't have to go down that Google rabbit hole. Look at her, you know, or them, you know, stepping up and helping me out, period. Like that in of itself is a great business thing, because that is where you then get the referrals and the word of mouth and the, all of this stuff. Like that's how you become, you know, a successful doula, is not, you know, all the little shiny things that you can do as far as marketing goes and all the tips and tricks and all of that stuff. But it's that, again, leading with service and just being honest with people. We live in a world where nobody is honest with anybody anymore half the time. So if you're honest and you can say, God, you know what? That's a new one for me. I don't know, but let me find out for you. Right?
Yes, absolutely. And you cannot go wrong with that. You cannot fail with that, with, you know, offering to be a resource versus be the resource.
Yeah. You know, and as time goes on, you know, being a doula, you'll gain that information and you'll gain that education as you go through. And each birth is a learning experience and, you know, learning more and understanding more and whatnot. I mean, that's how you become a good doula. You're not awesome to start, but you don't have to be. You just need to be there for them and be you, period. So don't worry about the shiny new, you know, all the well-curated Instagrams and the TikToks and the, you know, the pretty website and things like that. Just go in and be you. There you go. Period. That's your thing.
That's your thing. That's all you can do. And it's really the best way to move forward without having the fails that we have experienced. Learn from us.
Learn from our mistakes.
So Suzanne didn't join us today. I wonder what her business fails would be.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't.
We'll have to push her brain next week at the beginning of our episode. Just find out what she might have wanted to weigh in a little bit.
Well, we'll see. Remember, we have a flow now, so it's we can't we're not redoing this whole thing. And I'm gonna stop you right there. So next week. Our topic is going to be client loads and carrying our client loads.
Yeah.
So what's involved in that? How many clients do we take a month? And, you know, how does that work with birth and postpartum and all of that stuff? So that'll be a good one to take on.
That's the real deal right there.
Exactly. So one of the things that we wanted to do at the end of each episode is highlight a doula. Do we have, I don't think we have that yet, right? You don't have.
We had to decide, but I can tell you, I don't think it would be a surprise to anybody. Well, she's not a doula though, but she is a birth worker and she's doing amazing work. And I'm so excited for the work that Sam is doing right now. I know we've touched on her before recently, but honestly, educator, experienced doula, no nonsense. You know, her goal is to ensure that there is support and for the LGBTQ2+ community. However, it is pertinent to everybody.
Yes.
You know, it is absolutely pertinent to everybody how she shows up in service. You know, she shows up in service of everyone and makes sure everyone feels heard, everyone feels seen, everyone deserves education. So yes. When we talk about blowing someone up, you know, she does not need any help from us, but Sam is my girl.
So yeah, so Sam Leeson, you can follow her on TikTok and Instagram at Baby Ready. Is it Baby Ready LGBTQ?
It's babyready.info.
Okay, that's her.
You can also find her on YouTube.
Yes, okay, you can find her on YouTube as well. So her main handle is Baby Ready. So definitely check her out on TikTok if you're on there. Definitely check her out on Instagram and check out her YouTube channel as well. So she's killer. I I bow down to her. Honestly, she's, when I grow up, though I think I'm older than her, when I grow up, I want to be just like her. All right, cool. So we would love for you to tell us what your business fails are. Let us know. Email us at thepragmaticdoulas@gmail.com. Is there anything that you tried that didn't work? Or let us know, here's a great one. Let us know how you're leading with service. Okay. How are you helping your clients and what's working best for you? All right. And again, remember to just hit that rate button, hit that subscribe button. You don't have to give a big long thing, but we would love you to subscribe. And if you could, again, here's a call to action. Just tell one doula about the Pragmatic Doulas. Just one. If you can just tell one doula about the Pragmatic Doulas and to listen to this episode, that would be awesome. We love you. And we hope that you are staying safe, that COVID is filtering away from where you are, and that you are able to get back to in-person and doing the work that you love to do. All right.
We want that for you.
Yes. Stay safe.
See you next week, everyone.
All right. Bye.